understands the slogan.
We don't want to do that until after the Soviet summit, because we don't want to have
we
them
can't.
Feel
that's right.
them feel that they back down. We're going to let them, because we've got to say, look, we're doing it for our mutual interests. We're not going to let one small country poison the relations between two large countries.
That's right.
The line I've taken with the Soviet, and I just take it cold turkey, and they understand that.
That's a damn good line. But I think when you get back, this is when we should really...
Really ream them
and really build the image of the enormous changes that you've brought about in the world in these 3.5 years, opening the dialogue with China, the new era with the Soviets, of the major accomplishments that you've made, the ending of American involvement in Vietnam, and the success to date of keeping the South Vietnamese free. It's a hell of a powerful theme. Harris, of course, feels that we should run on two issues. He said you should run on the tremendous leadership in the world that the president did. Enormous accomplishments of changing the whole nature of the world, really, in probably the most dramatic
world leader,
the most dramatic changes ever made in a 3.5 year period by any president ever.
Well, and the most dramatic made since World War II.
Right, and that's the most important line. And then he thinks we should take issues like busing and just cut hell out of them in key areas. And
he says,
you take those two together, and you've really got something that motivates voters. And so when you get back, we'll make a major effort on the world leader.
Right.
I think this is going to build for us.
Okay, fine.
Right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, please.
Parliament, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
With regard to the Wallace thing, I wonder if probably the better thing to do is still just to make a telephone call rather than go by there. Have you had any more thoughts about it?
Well, I did. I talked to Conley about it.
Oh, good.
We were covering a lot of things, and I didn't say you had raised the question, or said, that point had come up, and what did he think? And he thinks, on balance, it's a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That it would be a good signal and a logical thing to do.
He will not be at Walter Reed, so it'd have
no,
to be at the
No, that's right.
Other place.
He'll be at Holy Cross. And
have you checked it out yet to see?
He's in reasonably good shape. Now, they have landed helicopters there in a grass area right by the hospital, so that could be done. We might not be able to land your big one, but we could land a Huey, and that wouldn't be bad.
Sure, I'd take that down here.
On that thing. Now, Walter Reed's only 10 minutes away. You could land there and drive over if you wanted to do that. Or you could fly in here and drive out. It's 20 minutes driving time. And
the more you cut down the driving time, the better. And also, if you land at Walter Reed, you cut out our own White House press. See what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to go to the White House and then have a caravan of 35
right.
Prescott.
I agree. I think that's right.
I think the best thing to do, frankly, is rather than landing at the hospital, is to land right at Walter Reed.
Well, there's another advantage to that, which is then you could drive over to the hospital and then drive back to Walter Reed to get your helicopter, and you could see that Secret Service agent for a minute while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
He's at Walter Reed.
Yeah. Okay, I could do that. Fine. Let's sort of plan that tentatively.
All right.
Don't tell anybody, but plan.
Right.
Oh, we had a good talk with Debrina this morning.
Good.
An hour. Everything's on salvo at the moment. Henry's wrestling with him again now. On the other things. I've got so damn many books to read. I don't know if I'll ever get through them, but we'll see.
I can imagine.
And, just for my own planning, the situation on Friday afternoon is at the present time 4 o'clock for the leaders or later?
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
And 5 o'clock for the press, or are we going to do the
5:30?
5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's definitely on, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's all right. Given that. Maybe you think we should bother with those damn pictures or not?
I don't think you need to, but I...
Maybe we just skip.
I think that's really what you feel better about tonight.
I just don't think I need to shake their hands.
You know, I don't either. I think if you
let's just do it. I'll just go in, say a word to them, and the only problem is the sort of the mingling a bit, but... I can do that. I can do that. It's all right. I can talk around a little bit.
Just work your way out slowly.
Yeah. Avoid all the other questions. All right. That's what we'll plan now. There may be, I suppose, something that Ehrlichman and so forth. I have to look at the last-minute domestic things while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spend much time on them. I just haven't got, just can't get into it right now.
Right.
But he'll understand that, and he'll bring up whatever he has to bring up. I can imagine that the details of this thing must be enormous, you know, as usual. But
no, it's in good shape.
Yeah, everybody's working on it.
It is. It's a complex trip because of all the countries, plus the Soviet thing. But it's all sorting out very well.
And we're not hauling over the silverware and the rest this time.
Nope.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Just right. And but we are, I suppose, hauling in some food. I suppose.
Yes.
That's perfectly all right too.
On all of that, the minimum of what we need to do in order to make it work right.
Are we trying to get any sort of mementos for the guests or any of that sort of thing?
No.
I don't think we bother.
I don't think we should.
It wasn't particularly necessary in China.
They'll have the invitation and they'll have the menu.
That's enough.
And those are nice souvenirs
every
for
place,
people.
Every place, that's right. You worked out the Cadillac?
We're working it out, yeah. That's a problem, but we're doing it.
Problem in what? Getting the money or what?
Well, yeah, and it's I think it's a problem in just the PR on it.
Well, I agree.
Cadillac.
I agree.
But I don't think there's anything we can do about it.
Well, I agree, but I think it's soluble provided it's the exchange of the two things.
Yep.
In other words, that's the way we put it.
We kind of make it a government exchange rather than a personal exchange.
Absolutely. We present that to the Soviet government, and they present a hydrofoil to the American government. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Not a gift to the man. We want to present this to the Soviet government, and they're presenting a hydrofoil to the American government.
Yeah.
That's the way I'd handle it.
Yeah.
I think that can be that soluble if somebody just get on it.
Yep.
Don't say that we're giving a Cadillac to Brezhnev.
Right.
That isn't the way it's done. Or a hydrofoil to me.
Right.
And the hydrofoil is being presented to the American government and the Cadillac's being...
Well, for the president. president's use, you've got to tie that in, and to them for the chairman's use.
Yeah, whoever is chairman, whoever, not whoever is president.
Yeah.
And also get in the fact that the French have given him a car. And,
yeah.
And that was the, what they wanted. You give me the, give the background to the likes of Scully and that. And,
right.
You
know, right.
How to handle it. And also you might get the relative cost. I'm sure the hydrofoil is more expensive than a Cadillac.
Oh, I'm sure it's substantially more.
Because, I mean, those things run $50,000 to $60,000, I think.
I would, well, I don't know what size it is and all that, but I can't imagine.
Any size. You can't get a.
It has to be more than a car.
You can't even get a speedboat for less than $4,000 or $5,000.
That's right.
So you know damn well the thing's going to cost that, so we can.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing, that one gift is more expensive than the other.
Mm-hmm. Right. Matter of fact, because the pandas are a hell of a lot more exciting than the musk oxen.
I'll say they are.
And the hydrofoil.
Are people going out to see those damn things, incidentally?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't followed that.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Big, big draw.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Fine. Bye-bye.
Yes, please.
Mr. Haldeman, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
As you know, I'm aware of the PR problems of an expensive gift of this sort. There are also PR problems of accepting a gift of that,
mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, although the Chinese gift is worth infinitely more, as you know.
Yep. Because they aren't as
they don't blatant. They're not as ostentatious.
Yep.
So, but I think you ought to get somebody like Moore in on the act to see.
Right. Well,
say, now, how do you think we ought to handle this? Pointing out the background, you know, that what happened was that we learned that the Soviet government, they asked if they could present a hydrofoil because they're very proud of their hydrofoils.
Yeah.
And so we said we couldn't accept that unless we could prevent something, you know, in kind. And what would the Soviet government want? And Brezhnev said, would you like a car?
Yeah.
Well, they do. We do cars well. They do hydrofoils well. That's really the story. It's
yep.
The God's truth. I think if it's well handled, it's all right. Except that you, the idea of giving a Cadillac to Brezhnev can be a hell of a negative story if it's just
right.
If it's handled that way.
No, that's like no problem.
Well,
we can do
problem,
that. We just got to be sure and do it that
yeah.
way.
It's a problem unless you point out that,
right.
that our gift was more less expensive than theirs.
Right.
And it's basically part of the material exchange. Okay.
Okay.
Could you get Mr. Haldeman back again, please?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
There you are.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
In 59, I recall taking several representative items from American industry to Moscow and giving it to these people. Now, they were not expensive items, you know what I mean? Some of our corn products and things of that sort, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not from the government. They were from various industries here that wanted the Russians to have their products. I wonder if there's any way you can work this out where GM does this damn thing.
I think we can. That's
I really think, and we'll say that, you see, basically, the Soviet government makes hydrofoils, GM makes the car. We say that we're receiving one, and they indicated they'd like a car, and GM said, fine, we'll give them one of those. So that isn't that I give them the goddamn
yeah.
thing. Or the taxpayers paid for the Cadillac, that's the thing.
Yeah.
If it comes down to that, I'll pay for the Cadillac. You know what I mean? No, I'm serious. I'd simply say that we don't have any funds for it, so but I don't want to do that either.
No.
But I don't see why GM just can't give them one.
I think they will.
Hmm.
I think that's the basis.
Well, if they do it, then the PR problems become infinitely less.
Yep.
Fine. The gift of General Motors.
Right.
Fine.
Yes, planes.
Woods, please.
Sir, Mr. President, we have Mr. Schultz calling for you on the line. I haven't gone to the aide yet to clear.
That's right. I'll take it.
All right, fine. Go ahead, sir.
No.
Mr. President.
Yeah, George.
I have been talking with John Connolly and Charlie Walker and others in the Treasury, and also trying to get a feeling from various senators that I visited on the committee as to their instincts about the Treasury staff.
Yeah.
And it's my judgment that our best bet right now is basically to keep the staff that's there on the understanding that this is sort of for the balance of the year. In other words, not to try to change it around drastically right now, but to essentially ride through with what we have there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very well thought of, respected on the Hill, and the various bills that they're managing.
Yeah, you ought to bring in at least a couple of your own people. You mean you've got to have an aide that is your own.
Right. Right.
Now, the one that impressed me that I thought was, I told Connolly, was a particularly good, I like this Donnelly.
Mm-hmm.
He's bright as a tack.
Yep.
He's a good salesman, and
yep.
since he's new.
Right.
Of course, naturally, Walker and Volker you've got to keep.
Yes.
But it's your judgment. If that's what you want to do, you go ahead and do
it. Well, I think this is the thing to do for now.
Right. The point is, it's awfully hard to get somebody to come for 8 months.
Right.
That's all you can commit to at the moment.
That's right. So I think that the thing to do is to plan for...
But if you could get... I'd only suggest that if you could get, in order to get additional stroke into the thinking there and some new thinking, you know, get some of your friends like Milton Friedman and three or four others that'll, you know, come in and counsel with you. But
right.
That's what I just think you shouldn't go in there and sort of continue as it is.
I think that's right.
You see my point?
It's a good, solid group, but it is not a creative group.
Yeah, you see, and take on tax reform. If we wait until January to come up with something in tax reform, then that means we're waiting 2 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, two sessions.
Right.
So you got to start thinking about it now. So I would have something done on the outside on that, maybe. That's what I mean, things of that sort.
All right.
And
now, there is a bill that John Connolly has gotten through that's ready for your signature tomorrow.
Yeah, to provide two new jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have more or less committed, and I can understand here Charlie Walker's point,
yeah.
that he would be the deputy secretary,
right.
and that Eddie Cohen would be the undersecretary that's vacated.
All right, fine.
And so
if that's what you want, we'll do it.
If we could send those nominations up when you sign the bill tomorrow, that would be fine.
You just tell Butterfield, Harlem, or somebody to, or Ehrlichman to prepare them, and I'll sign them.
Okay, sir.
It's done.
Thank you.
You got to just run the show the way you think is right.
Thank you.
All right, George.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Woods, please.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Were you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad to have to go out on such a journey, but these things are necessary.
They all happen. That's right.
Sure, sure.
How are
you
doing?
Getting, been pretty busy. Pretty busy, you know, trying to do two weeks' work in 2 days.
I know it.
Hard.
I know
but it's
it.
Coming along. Coming
Good.
Along. The, you getting all your stuff packed and so forth?
I don't even. I need to work on all that.
There's much to do. It's
gonna try to pack some stuff tonight. I don't know. It's hard to figure out what to take. But
yeah. Well,
men are. Men are very fortunate.
Well, we have. We have one white tie, I guess. But,
yes, one white tie, and the rest are all businesses.
I think that is, but.
But for women, that means short. You know, sort of dressy dresses, which are...
In Iran?
No, in Iran it's long,
yes.
white tie.
Yeah.
No, in the other places.
Other places, it's all short dresses. And incidentally, you don't have to... I take the same thing you take to China, because it's the weather, while it's warmer than China, it's still darn cool.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot warmer than China.
No, but I mean it's in the 40s to the 50s, rather than the 80s and 90s, like it was when we were there before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
although
the weather.
They say 69... And stuff like that, which sounds...
But in the south, yeah, but around Moscow, it's doggone... It's not... It's... You don't need to worry about warm weather. It isn't... The spring comes very late there, the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very late. Well, anyway.
It's
sort of a mix.
Yeah, it's funny, because it's the time of the year to wear lighter weight or lighter-looking things.
Yeah.
But just stick something in.
Right. Well, okay, I got Henry up here today, so we...
Is Henry up there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Has anyone asked you about, or told you, Herb Klein asked me to check this with you. Earl Mazo is just absolutely dying to go on the trip.
My God, we've taken it up, but we just can't get anybody to finance him.
Well, he is financed by this Woodrow Wilson...
We've been around the track. We're taking several, but we had to just scrape the bottom. You see, the Reader's Digest doesn't finance him anymore, and they've got two or three. And I, you know, tried to do everything we could for Earl Rose, but you just can't do it. We just can't do it out of the government funds.
Well, no, it isn't supposed to be. Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars will take care of his expenses. That's where he is now.
Yeah. Well. They can do it, so there's no problem, and I think in getting an extra person, if we can...
Who should I talk with about it?
Well, just talk to Bob Paulman, just say that, raise it with him.
Okay.
Because I know it's been raised, because I went over a whole list of people, and we've scrounged around and getting people on that normally couldn't go. I mean, some of them with the rates are a little bit less than the others, not much, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, and getting them to do writing for various people, but in Earl's case... See, the trouble is, we just can't get anybody to write because he won't get it done. You know what I mean? That's the problem with the Digest. They said, good, we'd love to, but we just can't justify it. So
Well, I'll talk to Bob.
If he's financed...
He says he is, and so does Herb say he is, so...
Well, talk to Bob. If he's financed, sorry with me.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Parliament, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Did Rose reach you?
No.
Yeah. What she called me about is that is the Mazo problem, and apparently Herb Klein is in the act, and he's called and talked to her and says he's dying to go and so forth. And I says, well, it's a pure case that nobody will finance it. You know that the Reader's Digest can't because he won't write anything. She says, well, no, the Woodrow Wilson Center for this and that and the other thing will pay his way.
That's fine.
That's what I told her, that if he
No problem, if he gets his way paid.
Yeah. Well...
I'll get it straightened out.
If you can.
Sure.
I mean, I have no objection to his going, but I don't believe we can... I don't think we can justify, you know, giving him a cut rate. I mean...
Can't.
Can you?
No.
We've got a few other cut rates, but you know what I mean. Within reason, you can maybe trim a little bit. But
we can help, but we...
We can help, but he's...
We can't get the
answer
right.
It's a question of his getting it financed.
Sure.
Of course, Klein should have talked to Ziegler about it. I don't know what the hell he's. That's the way to do that.
I'll find out about that, too.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Right.
Yes, please.
Mrs. Nixon, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Incidentally, I forgot, incidentally, the...
Yes, please.
Haldeman, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
One thing that Ehrlichman has been dragging his feet on because of Schultz, and now that we got Schultz the hell out of the OBM, and I want you to get Weinberger, I want those funds cut off for that MIT.
Right.
Now,
I know what you mean.
All right, you get a hold of Weinberger and say, I want the goddamn funds, and I want them to know it now. Get it done.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.